Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Support for the City of Smack podcast comes from New Balance Running. I've been waiting a few weeks to finally put this ad read together because I'm excited to share my review of the New Balance SC Elite V4. It is the shoe that I wore to break 3 hours at the Houston Marathon, and now it could be yours. I had my first chance to try on a pair with a secret all-white prototype at the New York City Marathon, and I came away from that race a bit bummed about my time, but with zero issues on my feet, no hot spots or blisters, and my legs weren't as beat up. So while I could have opted for any other shoe, I stuck with the SC Elite V4s. It's got a new PIBA fuel cell midsole, and they updated the carbon fiber plate design to have a more forefoot stiffness, so you get more pop than the other previous versions. They also changed the upper to Phantom Fit, so it secures your foot down. The bonus in all of this is the neon accents. It looks awesome. So if you're looking for a race day shoe, my recommendation right now is the New Balance SC Elite V4. If you're looking for some other new drops from New Balance, there's a Fuel Cell Rebel, which is a lightweight, everyday training shoe that's out now. The old reliable Fresh Foam X1080 also has some new colors available. Head on over to newbalance.com/running to check them all out. That's newbalance.com/running. Thanks to New Balance for their support of all things City of Smack. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. We love giving the listeners a shout out when they leave a review. If you want yours to be read, leave us a 5-star review and let us know why you love this show. This week's review comes to us from Clary Tata, who wrote, "Got me through my cross training era. Shortly after cross country season ended, I found out I had a pretty high grade stress fracture in my foot that would put me out all of indoor season. I wanted to stay in shape, so I did some insane cross training sessions. City of Smack got me through some of my long run equivalent cross training sessions. Now I'm back and healthy, and my love for the sport has increased even more by staying in the loop through your guys' amazing work. Thank you." So glad to hear that you're back healthy. May you have fast times and personal bests ahead of you. Our silly little podcast may not be able to heal your bones, but it can lift your spirits and track fandom. So thank you, Clary Tata. I wasn't anticipating putting this interview out as a podcast, but then I realized it was so good and insightful that I had to flip it from a simple YouTube video to an audio version that you can take on the go. 20 minutes of catching up with Olympic medalist and world champion Jenny Simpson before she takes on the NYC half on Sunday. It is her first race since unfortunately dropping out of her marathon debut at the US Olympic Trials in Orlando last month. We chatted a bit about her lessons from that race, whether she would have done anything differently, and how she's taking that as motivation for some of her next few races. Moments before we did this interview, the BAA announced that Jenny has been added to the Boston Marathon field for April 15th, along with Sarah Hall, Caroline Rotich, Elkanah Kibet, and Sam Chilenga. So we discuss her plans for that race and a wider shot of how she views this chapter of her legendary career. So without further ado, here is Jenny Simpson. All right, Jenny Simpson here in New York City for the NYC half. And moments ago, they announced running the Boston Marathon in April. Jenny, how are you feeling post-Orlando? Has training been going? How's everything?
Yeah, so first, props to Chris. The announcement came out literally moments ago. And as any good journalist, he's like, I'm in the hotel with her. I have to find her. So here I am. You know, this is a different moment in my career compared to any other one in the past, I think, because I really suffered a major disappointment. And it's up for debate whether I maybe should have taken a break after the trials and kind of reset. But man, I didn't feel like I could stop. I just felt like all this training is in me and this motivation to kind of show the world the hard work I put in. And then I didn't take this journey lightly. You know, I really care a lot about making this transformation from, you know, middle distances to the longer stuff. And so I just really wanted to keep going. So New York City half, and yeah, just announced I'm going to run Boston in April.
The trials itself, the way the race played out, you know, you dropped out, but what did you make of your first marathon experience up until that point?
I think what surprised me the most is that I have been trained up by Mark Wetmore to care a lot about sensory data. You know, like what's coming in from the outside and how do you really feel? Like, what's your real effort in the race? And what I did not expect is how hard it is to judge that in the marathon, not because of the distance, not because, it's just because the crowd. Like, the trials was insane. And the excitement of it and the sense that, like, I was in this important moment that I had prepared so long for and I had sacrificed so much for. Even when I'm on the track and there's 60 or 80,000 people in the stadium, like, there's some distance between you and the crowd. And really what you feel and the energy that you have in that moment on the track is, like, the women right next to you that you're competing against. And when I was running the trials kind of through the first half, through, you know, about 13 miles, I spent a lot of that time alone in the middle of the road with, like, tons of people just feet away from me, you know, screaming and yelling. And it was just really hard for me to judge, like, am I going too hard? Am I not going hard enough? And that really surprised me how difficult that was.
I guess in the lead up to it, was there anything you would have done differently training wise?
Training wise, I really trust my coaches. Okay. So as far as training, I'll leave that to them. So if ask them, I don't know.
Race execution wise, like.
But race execution, you know, I think, first of all, I'm down right now, right? Like, so I'm probably prone to overthink or regret things that may or may not have had an impact. But I do look at my experience in that 18 miles of the trials that I ran. And I think there's an amount of intensity that I've brought to the track for over a decade that I think really served me well. And my ability to kind of stay at an appropriate level of, like, intense but also calm. Like, there's a really fine balance there when you're in the second round of the World Championships and you want to run the final. Like, But there was definitely an explosive nature to what we do on the track that the marathon is really different. And getting ready for it, like, that intensity that I bring to what I do and that focus and that sense of, like, I'm sacrificing and I'm being disciplined for this one thing, I don't know that it served me as well in the marathon as it has over the years on the track.
Did that, I guess that intensity and that feel on the starting line in Orlando, how different was that from previously having been at so many Olympic trials and U.S. championships when there is a team on the line?
So it's the opposite of what you might think. On the starting line of the marathon, I felt like super calm, super cool. I mean, I've done a lot of trials. I've done a lot of world championship, on the line to make a world championship team. So that part didn't intimidate me. That wasn't hard. The idea of running 26 miles, that didn't really intimidate me. I trained for it. I didn't just show up and they told me it was that distance. Like, I knew going into it. So I was a lot more calm when I go to the trials at the, for the track, when you're on the track, there's, like, a level of, like, I don't feel well. I'm that nervous that I don't miss. 'Cause it's just really hard to approach and, like, because you get out of the car and you have your sweats on, you have your backpack on and you walk to the stadium and you see this enormous stadium and you think, like, this is my stage. And from that moment on, like, the intensity just ratchets up with every next step. So you lay down and you kind of pretend like you're napping, but nobody's napping in the track. And then you get up and you kind of jog around a little bit, maybe stretch a little bit. Then you go out for your warm up and then you come in and you go through the process of the first call room. You see all your competitors gathering, you walk or you take a cart to the second call room. And the intensity just, like, has this natural build. That by the time you get to the start line, you're like, oh my gosh, can we just get going? And Mark Wetmore, my coach, says it best, that the 1500 meters is kind of like a car crash. Like, it feels like in the moment it kind of goes in slow motion, but it's over so fast. So all of that experience is just so familiar to me. Getting to the trials and the marathon, there was just such a, like, you wake up in the morning, you have a breakfast, you kind of put your stuff on, and then you show up at the start line. And there was just, like, a different non-build to the start. Yeah. So by the time I got to the start, I was actually feeling pretty good.
So then during the actual race, I mean, there were some cool moments, right, for the fans at least watching. It's like you and your first marathon. There was, I think, a moment when Dez was
around. Yes, okay. I will talk about this.
Okay, yeah, I want to hear about it.
Because that was one of, like, in the course of your career, in the course of my career, I've had moments that I don't even remember. Like, things that were cool that, like, I look back and I see pictures and I'm like, I don't even remember I was in that city in that one. And then there's moments that, like, won't ever matter to anyone else but feel really significant to you. And anyway, so I don't remember where we were in the first loop, the first full loop, but we were at some point in the first full loop, and I was feeling pretty good still, and Dez came up next to me, and she and I ran together for a while, and the amount that the crowd was going nuts when we were together was just so, I'll remember it the rest of my life. Like, it was one of the joys of experiencing that race on that day, even though it didn't turn out the way I wanted. Because hearing the reaction of, like, everyone around us, but then also Dez and I exchanged words a couple of times along the course. And just feeling that sense of, like, we've both been around for so long, and we have, I certainly have an enormous amount of respect for her. I don't know. It's just, it was as special to me as hopefully it appeared to the fans of the course.
I mean, yeah, for the fans who got to witness that moment, it was really cool because it was a celebration. You know, yes, there's a race on the line and there's spots for it to make a team, but a celebration of, like, look at these icons of American distance running in the same race at the same point. Where even in the beginning of the race, I remember thinking, I was like, when's the last time Emily Sisson and Jenny were in the same race? And it was like, yeah. I think only, like, once before that in, like, the half or something like that. But it was just really cool to watch as a fan. And so after the race, what are the conversations you're having to kind of pick up the pieces again? And were there, you know, some of these other athletes who, like, reached out?
Well, so speaking of good things on a bad day, there was a couple of other things that were really awesome about that day, even though, obviously, I didn't have a great day of racing for myself. The second, like, really, really important moment was that when I decided to call it a day, I stepped off around 18, and I went to a volunteer and said, I'm going to be done. And you have to go to a volunteer, and then somebody has to, like, they have to acknowledge that you're coming off. Sorry, we're gonna shimmy up here and keep our conversation going. When that happened, it was obvious to the crowd, because I was stepping off the course, that I was quitting. And the amount of love that I got from Carrie Tolleson, who was on the mic at the time, and from the fans, I asked the volunteer, can I just jog up to the finish? Because I wanted to, like, physically, demonstrably communicate that I was okay, like, I wasn't suffering heat stroke or something. And this is the best way I know how to put it. Like, people will tell you over and over in your life that they're proud of you no matter what, but you don't know it until they're so good to you when you fail. And I've had so many podium moments and so many, like, successes, and I know, because I'm on the other side of that too, right? Like, I support people too. It's easy to love and be proud of people when they succeed. but to have, like, so much love from the crowd and from the people in the sport who I respect in a moment when I was down, it just felt like they really proved it was true, that they were proud of me no matter what.
How much of a break did you take after Orlando?
I took 2 days off.
Okay.
2 days off before I begged to keep going. Yeah, I ran the third day and felt like, you know, I'm stiff and I'm sore and there's a few little issues here and there, but I can definitely keep going. I can do a hard run in a few days, which is what I did. And then really quick, going back to one more, like, happy moment on a hard day, was that it was just so amazing to see two Puma women make the team. Like, I know that there's a generation and a wave of women coming behind me, and it happened to in the 1500 as well. When I had, you know, I'm a New Balance athlete and three New Balance women make the 1500 meter team. And then I'm a Puma athlete and two Puma women make the marathon team. I don't know how I got so lucky that the days that I do so badly, my teammates do so well, or people that I view as teammates do so well. And so that just made me really happy on a day that was like not that great.
Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching two new styles to their recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip Collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's three-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and forefoot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code SidiousMag20 at checkout at VelusFootwear.com. So where do you feel like you're at in terms of just, I mean, it's an Olympic year. That was a race to make another Olympic team.
Yeah.
You've made Olympic teams. You've won an Olympic medal. Are you okay with, like, I guess, with the decision to run Boston, where are you kind of at in terms of just, like, the Olympic dream for this year?
You know, my dad said something on that day at the trials. He said, you becoming an Olympian happened a decade ago. Huh. And like that was decided a decade ago. And I don't know exactly what he meant by that, but it did comfort me that it's like someday, I don't know. It could be like, oh, I'm losing out on making a fourth Olympic Games, or there's room for people to make their first. And you just get to decide how you look at it. And it's both. It's both. So I don't know that I don't know if I'll run the track or not, or if I'll really chase. But my most earnest effort to make the team was the marathon trials. In a weird way, it kind of feels like it doesn't change a lot.
Yeah.
Except that, you know, knowing how hard it was on that day in Orlando, like, I'm way, way, way more crazy about cheering for those three women that made the team because I know how hard it was to make it than I would have been if I was cheering on the sideline.
Yeah. One of the interesting things I just saw Kira D'Amato say on a episode with Ali was that, like, she wants to normalize that it's, like, it's okay to go after these big goals and fail, even, like, on a big stage. For you, having had so much success in your career, has that been a learning process too? Is just being able to cope with, oh, all right, this was a bump?
Yeah. People don't remember your failures. And that's good. And it's not bad. It's good. It's good for people not to remember them. But I mean, I was like teeth in the dirt in my last cross country race as a collegian. And like literally, there's videos you can watch. And that was my one chance to win a cross country championship, and in NCAAs. And I didn't do it, and I failed miserably. And I was, you know, should have been a shoe-in. I didn't make the final in the 2012 Olympic Games when I was the defending world champion. Like, you're the defending world champion, you don't even make the final. In 2015, I was going around the track, and it's the second time in my career, that my shoe came off in a final at the World Championships that time, and then before it was in an NCAA final. So I've had failures in the past, but when you succeed, like, fortunately, that's what shines. People talk about, like, learning from failure or whatever. You learn from being resilient. You learn not from being down, but from getting up and continuing and going. It's a year after the failure that you're the amazing, blossoming person that can look back on that failure without cringing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's a process.
All right, so back to what we're here for, NYC Half. What's the goal here? And I guess, like, how does it fit into, you know, the bigger picture with Boston on the horizon?
Yeah, so good question. So the New York City Half is the perfect kind of, like, primer and tuner to get ready for Boston. And I made the decision to come here before before I had made the decision to do Boston. But I do think it's a really important intermediate. You know, February 3rd was so hard and like physically difficult and also like emotionally and mentally like difficult to not do well. And so to go from that until April, I really need something in between. This is what's new to me. Like, coming back from failures, it's not new. But it has been really mentally hard to stay motivated. I've never had a stretch in my career like I have recently, where like getting up and feeling motivated and getting out and doing the work has been as hard as it's been recently. And I'm learning a lot about myself through that, you know? It's funny, you know, people ask you, oh, how do you stay motivated? I think for about 2 decades, I just was. And so learning, you know, okay, it's not just about getting the work done, but it's because I can get up and get the work done, but like still feeling like I have energy in what I'm doing and I feel positive and I have that positive narration in my head. The story you're telling yourself is like the most important story that's happening in the world. And so you have to make sure you keep that story like in an appropriate perspective and space. So I'm learning all of that and I'm practicing all of that. So anyway, all of that to come back to the New York City Half. There's a couple of things. First of all, I love the city. New York Roadrunners, I have so many positive, amazing relationships here. And then just the timing of it. It was just the perfect in between to like conquer this and stay motivated for this on my way to Boston.
That story that you're writing for yourself, how far away is the ending? Or like, what is the ending that you want to write up?
If I'm not dead, I'm not done. I just think, okay. The story you're writing for yourself, like running is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. It's the majority of it for me for right now. But the world is like a big place full of amazing, wonderful people. And so when the like quote unquote competitive running journey ends, there will be another adventure. So, yeah, I don't know that I think there is a finish line until it's like really, really over.
How do you think 13.1 miles in New York is going to compare to all the success you've had over 1 mile on Fifth Avenue?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Fifth Ave is like over in 4 minutes, which is amazing. This is a lot longer. It's a lot longer. You know what? And I don't say this just because it's like a thing to say about New York. I really mean it. Like to see the city, like the way that you see it when you're racing is really special. And I know that because of Fifth Ave, but I also know it because years ago they had a kid from each borough be the Grand Marshal of the New York City Marathon. And I rode on the cart with them. So I was like basically this like glorified babysitter for these 5 kids, which was the most amazing marathon day I've ever had. So I got to ride in the cart along the course, and to see the city that way, you know, shut down with 1 million fans out cheering for the sport that you love, that you've kind of given your life to, is really special. So in my imagination, Sunday will be a 13 mile version of that.
And then at some point you have got to complete just all the marathon here.
Should I ask Lyle about that? What that's like?
No, I'm sure he'll have a totally different attitude. Like, you can skip out on that one.
He and I can have a separate interview conversation about how important it is to run the New York City Marathon.
Jenny, I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. This episode was produced by Jasmine Fair. I love doing this for you guys, so please do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us grow the show and get even more awesome guests. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. Please share this episode with your friends if you think that they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's build this thing together. Visit CityusMag.com for a lot more. We've got a brand new website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.